All right, this is called Build a Better Business Mastermind, and we're going to chat briefly here at the very beginning about the metaverse. And so let me describe briefly what the metaverse is, and please feel free to then jump in and give a better explanation if you have a better one. So the first version of the internet was where we could look things up. We could go to Google and we could look something up, and it was like having an online encyclopedia. So if you needed to know a definition, or you needed to know a location, or you needed to know, you could just look it up. That was the first level of internet. The second level, but it was all owned. It was one big internet that you were simply tapping onto. You know, the train was going by and you just tapped into it to get information. The second level of the internet is an interactive type internet. And that's what we're in today. And that's what we're all familiar with. And so we can tap into Facebook and people can then answer back, and we can have our own little room, our own little space, our own little page in Facebook, our own little group. We can have all of that, but it's still on that main train that's going by. And we're just jumping in, and we get to share a little piece of it, and it's interactive. So we can put information out and we can get information back. So it's a two-way street. So that's web two. Okay. Now we're moving into web three. Now here's the irony. Web three has been around a long time. The banks have been using it for years because they wanted to have something more secure. They didn't want to get on that single train that's going by that the whole world is on the internet, because they wanted to do private transactions, financial transactions. They wanted to keep all of their customers' information really, really safe and secure. And they didn't want somebody, you know, how many times have we watched the old Westerns where, you know, they're running from train car to train car and they're breaking in through the windows, and, you know, so people can break in to that train going down the track in web two. And so web three is where a company buys a piece of the track. And they say, I own this piece of the track, and only the train I'm going to allow down this piece of the track is going to be on my track because I own it. And so now they're doing their banking transactions on Web3, which is where they own a piece of the internet. They're not using the general internet. And what Web3 is and where it's going is that all of us get to buy a piece of the track if we want to. We all get to buy a piece of the track if we want to. And so what happens right now, because it's all electronic, you can't just walk up with, you know, your $100 bill, which is our government currency, and buy a piece of the track. You have to somehow make that an electronic piece. And so that's where cryptocurrency comes in. That's where you can have a crypto wallet. And with your cryptocurrency and crypto wallet, you can then buy a piece of the track, of the internet, of the web. And that's where then you can create your own little place to store your stuff. And it's just like where the banks store all of their accounting of all their clients on their piece. You can store the items of value that you have on your piece. So you can upload your latest book, your artwork. You know, you store your crypto wallet there and keep your cryptocurrency in it. All of that is stored on your little piece of Web3, of the track. Now, that's where it's going. And I want to back up and say this. Remember when Ma Bell Telephone Company was in, and if you didn't go with Ma Bell, you didn't get a telephone. Now I'm aging myself. I get that, because that's been a long time ago. It was the only game in town. And the federal government came in and deregulated that and said, you cannot be a monopoly because there's no checks and balances with the monopoly, and they could charge whatever they wanted. They could do whatever crappy service they wanted, and there was nothing you could do about it because it was the only game in town. So when the government deregulated that and said, you know, all these other phone companies could come into place, it actually put Ma Bell out of business. they became SBC for a while, and I think now AT&T, and as you know, it's morphed over time, but now they're just a small player or one of the players in this big game of telecommunications. Well, it's like that with the web. There was only one internet. And then when it became Web 2 and it was interactive, there was still only one internet. Well, now Web 3, everybody's going to start to get a little piece of it, and you can buy a piece of it. It's going to change the playing field altogether. So with that explanation, all I'm saying is Carrie is an early adapter. He understands what's coming. It's definitely in the future. A lot of the games that we're seeing that the kids are playing, they've been in Web 3 long before us. Everybody from junior high, they're all on Web 3. All these games own a piece of the web. And so that's where it becomes a virtual reality. And that's where you can have an avatar and an earlier version, which isn't quite Web 3, but it's a good description. Remember when Farmville first came out? And everybody was playing Farmville, and you could buy your farm and you could buy, you know, your crops, and you could, you know, that is the way Web 3, that's the way it's going, is that you're going to have an avatar and you can actually own property and own all kinds of things on your section of the web, and it has value. You can sell those things. So anyway, that's just my definition, my description. Sherry, Ruth, Estella, does anybody, because Debbie was the one asking the question, does anyone else have a better version of what the Web 3 is? Sherry?
Not a better version. I think you did a great job explaining it. What I want to add is the currency that is out there that is going to be available to buy and sell is the world of cryptocurrency. And one of the things that's happening now is that you will see, depending on the state that the person's from, that cryptocurrency is now an accepted mm-hmm. way of buying whatever entity it is that you are doing. So it is gonna at some point become universal. Right yes. now it's not. And one of the good things about it is it's going to be a global currency mm-hmm. that has a bad connotation as well, because then everything's going to have like this one world government kind of a thing, because the internet's going to be the thing that takes over. So in a way, it's a good thing, and in a way, it's not so good thing. I am actually doing a lot of research on it, on how to create professional development platforms that will morph into that world right now. So that's something that John Lee and I are creating right now, is the foundation. So when it becomes much more of a open entity, that we are prepared to have that. So we are creating badges for all of our products mm-hmm. that will at some point in time be connected. Non-fungible tokens. Yeah. Sorry, if I could pass some Wi-Fi, it goes worky.
Yeah, you cut out for just a minute, but you're back. Go ahead.
Yeah. A non-fungible token, Debbie, is an NFT, and that is basically a picture form of some kind of document that will be housed on the internet. And one of the things that the internet hasn't quite solidified is when you own it yourself and you can't pass it on to somebody else, because you can't. So something that I've taken, like a professional development, I can't pass that badge on to somebody else and it mean the same thing. So that's one of the things.
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit, Sherry. Did everybody lose her? Yep, she froze. Sherry.
Am I back?
You're back.
Yeah, as soon as I hit somebody's Wi-Fi, it goes out because I'm driving and it has an automatic pickup. But so I'm in the process of trying to get, have all the foundation there so that I can create NFTs with all my badges and how that's going to work over time. So if that, I know that's way beyond where Debbie is in her brain. I know that, but that's why I'm interested in what Carrie is doing, because I want to see how it's going to apply to the professional development world. So I'm going to go back on to a thing so you don't see my the road going by. I am wireless. Remember that.
Okay. I get it. So Sherry, thank you for that. Now, just to paint just a little bit more of a picture on your little piece of the train track that you're going to purchase, your piece of Web3, visualize that, you know, when you walk into your bank and you've got safe deposit boxes, and there's a whole room of safe deposit boxes there at your bank, and you can go in and you can put anything in your safe deposit box. You can put your jewelry in there. You can put artwork in there. You can put cash in there. You're not supposed to put cash, but you can put cash in there. You can put anything you want in that safe deposit box. And only the person with the key can get that stuff out of your safe deposit box. Well, on Web3, it's like you have a little safe deposit box on your section of the track that you own, and that's where you put all your valuables, and no one can get that valuables out of there unless they have your key, which is your wallet. That's the key to your little safe deposit box. That's your crypto wallet, and that's where you keep all your valuables in Web3. And so that's just kind of an overview of how it works. But you're like, well, how do I actually get, you know, a piece of jewelry in there or a piece of artwork in there? And that's what Sherry was talking about. You turn it into a picture of that item, and that's called an NFT. And the NFT is what's held in that safe deposit box, so to speak. So it's what's coming. I agree with Sherry. I can see where as businesses are traveling internationally, you know, we've got tons of international travel, whether we personally do it or not. The airports are packed. Businesses are worldwide businesses. Technology, the biggest tech company, you know, is like in South Korea, you know. So, I mean, there's all kinds of tech companies all over the world that we as a people, as just as a world population, are dependent on. And so what happens there is they would all love for there to be a world economy where you just have one form of transactions. And I agree with Sherry. I think it is actually going to be cryptocurrency is going to be the, you know, what you're transacting. Right now in Columbus, Ohio, we have investors that are buying physical real estate properties in Columbus, Ohio with their cryptocurrency, with the crypto in their wallets. They're actually, and our federal government just passed that in several states too, that they will accept cryptocurrency for your taxes. And several states will accept cryptocurrency now for your state taxes. And some cities are now jumping on board and accepting cryptocurrency for your city taxes. So it's coming. We understand it's coming. And that's why Carrie is so passionate about it. So I hope that helps. I know that, I don't know if that makes it more confusing or less confusing, but it's coming. So thoughts or questions, Debbie?
Yeah, you're right. It's a little confusing, but you did explain it to the point where I could picture that, okay, your examples. I guess my next question is that all the conference is going to be about, or no?
I really don't know. I have not even looked at the lineup yet. I haven't even looked at the speaker lineup. But again, I want to support Carrie. I do know he's an early adapter. I don't know what I don't know. And there's a lot about Web3 that I don't know. So like Sherry, I want to go, if nothing else, then to get an idea of where things are going and where things are headed. Because our kids are way ahead of us. You know, like I said, most of our junior high kids are already on Web3. And I don't even have my website on Web3. So I want to change that. I want to at least have a Web3, a Web2, and a Web3 website. Right now, my website is Web2. Folks can go there, they can click on a link and it comes back to me. So it makes it interactive. That's that whole web too, but we're not on my own section of the website. We're just out there on the website for everyone. So I do want to get at least my website over on my own little piece of the web. Because remember what I teach all along in building a better business is that action comes first and clarity comes second. And so I already have my crypto wallet and I don't have a lot in it, but, you know, but I did buy some cryptocurrency and I do have a crypto wallet and it is growing in value. And I don't have an EFT yet. Now, Wendy, for those of us that are also in Wendy's group, Wendy, she and her partner went out and purchased an EFT. And so then she can resell that, or you can even add value. Now, Carrie is giving everybody an EFT as I think part of, and maybe Sherry can speak to this, but Carrie, I think, is giving away an EFT to everybody that attends the conference. So you will have
NFT.
So NFT. he is giving away one of those for attending the conference. And so you will have that little piece of Web3 to take away with you from the conference. So it's your own, it's my first little piece. So Ruth.
And the way I understand it too, and Sherry may be able to talk about this, but from that thing that those of us that are certified coaches, they are going to make us badges that are going to be part of that.
Oh, yes. Good. Okay.
Yes, that is correct. For every thing that you have a certification and you will get an individual badge for that. So
here's my question. And this shows where my understanding is kind of ends. Do we now own a piece of Carrie's Web3 by having those, or is it our own piece of Web3?
It's Carrie's. You have to have, you have to start your own chain to have your own piece of it. I have purchased four, I believe I have now, I have four NFTs. Two of them are virtual real estate and one of them is attached to a podcast, which is very interesting. And then the third one is just a photo. And I am creating some of my own NFTs for my platform. So I'm real right now figuring out what that looks like, but I'm in the process of creating my own NFTs. And there's ways to do it that are more expensive than other ways. So you got to learn a little bit about the different currencies within the world of cryptocurrency so that you're not spending more money than you need to.
And I think that's what a lot of this conference is going to be about, is just kind of bringing everybody up to speed. So I'm looking forward to it because, again, I realize that it's coming whether I'm ready or not. And so, I made up my mind when I left corporate America, before I even got into the salon business back at the end of the 1990s, I remember, you know, we finally automated everything at the company I worked for, and I loved it. I loved the automation. I loved learning all of the new tools. And so when I decided to leave corporate America and get into the salon business, my biggest fear was that would leave me behind. That was my biggest fear, is that the whole, you know, that whole thing would just leave me behind. So I just jumped on board in the salon business and decided I was keeping active in technology. So this is another step of me keeping active. Somebody is at my door. It could be one of my guests. Debbie or Ruth, can I turn it over to you for just a second and let me check my door? I'll be right back.
So I have a question about, and it probably is for Sherry. Do you have your website on Web3?
I might not be heard in this area too well. So if I am not, forgive me. I am actually working on that right now. My son is coding a brand new website. And so I will own everything that it will be on my platform by next year at this time.
So in a nutshell,
and I'm trying to figure out how to take cryptocurrency for course fees.
Okay. So when you move to Web3, does that eliminate the hosting platform? Like right now I'm on Bluehost.
Yeah, that you have to go with a totally different kind of hosting platform. So yes, you will have to get rid of Bluehost. You will also need to get rid of WordPress because it's even a much more fundamental, I guess is the right word, platform that you have to create the website on. Even so, you can't even use WordPress as a foundation.
Right now, that's a little overwhelming, but I'm not saying I won't get there.
I am not even trying to figure out what he's doing, but he will give me the code for a website, and he'll come to me and I'll say, "What do you think of this, Mom?" And I'm going, "Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. How did you do that?" So there's a lot of it that will be very, he's setting himself up for that. He also is not thinking that NFT is the right platform for what I am trying to accomplish because of the way NFTs can be sold. So we're not, he's like, the technology isn't quite up there to where I need it to be for the platform for myself. So we're having a little bit of a, like, we're interested, we're trying to get prepared, but all of the things that we are going to need, even as authors, are not quite totally out for the public to notice, if you don't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's why I think Carrie is an early adapter.
Yeah.
He's a little ahead of his time. I appreciate him, but he's a little ahead of his time.
Yes, my son feels the same way about me doing what I'm getting ready to do, but he's still willing to play along a little bit with the ride. I will be turning the car off here in a moment to run into the post office, and then I will be back with you. So I will not be available here in a moment.
Okay, perfect. That was my guest knocking on the door. They got their car all fixed and they are heading out. She was just letting me know that they were good to go and she needed some ice. So I got their cooler all packed up with ice and they are now hitting the road for their last 6 hours to get home today. So it's all good. I was just sharing with the group early on that I showed up with no makeup today. For those of you that are listening in, you would notice that, but for those of you that are watching the replay, you will, because I've been working with guests at the guest house. Their car broke down on the freeway and we've been working with them getting their car towed, getting it repaired. And they've got two small children. So they were stuck along the freeway with two little people. So we got them all tucked in last night and all fixed today and they're back on the road. So good. So it worked out. So they've got 6 hour drive ahead of them and then they'll be home. So I don't know what the cost was. I feel bad that they had that, you know, extra cost, but hey, that happens sometimes when you travel. I think you have to be prepared. We tried to do our part to make it as easy as possible. So last final comments or thoughts about Web3, and then we'll move on to our topic. Debbie, go ahead.
Would you say that there's an advantage to the little seminar that he's going to be doing on that before the conference?
Probably. It was off the table for me because we're coming in from Florida that Thursday and we don't get on the ground in enough time for me to attend that one. So it probably would bring tons of value. I think it was the questions people were asking and this was his option to answer those questions. So I do think it would be beneficial, but I'm not on the ground quick enough to participate in that one.
Okay. All right.
Ruth, any thoughts before we move on to our topic for the day?
Is that What Debbie is talking about is that available by Zoom?
The meeting that she's talking about, I don't know. It's part of Cary Oberbrunner's conference this year.
And
he added a meeting on the Thursday night before. The conference is like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and he added a Thursday night event that I can't attend because of my travels. We're coming back from Florida that day. But the conference itself, I think there's still tickets if you're interested. It's October 21. Yeah, it's Friday. It's October 21, 22, and 23 is the actual conference. And I think he added that event the night of the 20th, Thursday the 20th.
Okay, thank you.
But there are tickets. If you Google Cary Oberbrunner, it'll come up and the whole calendar of events will come up.
Yeah.
And the ticket link and everything will be there.
Okay, I'm right. With you now.
Okay. Ruth, any comments before we move on? No? Do you have an NFT at all?
No.
Okay. Again, I don't. I've got my crypto wallet, so that's all I have is a little bit of cryptocurrency, and I'm watching the crypto go like this. You know, one day it'll be worth this, and the next day it's, you know. So again, I'm in a learning curve like everyone else. So it's what it is. So we want to go ahead, Debbie.
I'm sorry. Is there a difference between Bitcoin and crypto? Are they the same thing?
Bitcoin is just one of you'll have to kind of look it up, but Bitcoin is just one of the options. It's my analogy, it's kind of like the stock market. You know, you've got the whole stock market, which is the cryptocurrency, and then you've got all these different stocks you can buy. Well, the cryptocurrency is the definition, and then you've got all these different types that you can buy.
Okay.
And some are more popular than others. So some have higher value than others, you know, and there are folks that are a whole lot smarter about it than I am. I know just enough to know what I don't know. If that makes any sense. But again, action comes first, clarity comes second, and it is coming. So just beware, it is coming. Okay.
I'm going to share something in the chat. I use Coinbase to house my wallet, and I'm going to send a link to Coinbase so that you can check it out. But, but that's what the thing is going to be in the chat.
Yeah, I use Coinbase as well. Yeah. Yep. And I'm invested in three different ones. Bitcoin, Shiba, and Tench are the three that I'm in. And it's and mine are all held in Coinbase as well. That's my wallet.
And
on my phone, I've got all my banking apps all in one little grouping, and my Coinbase is right there. There's a mobile app for it, so you can get a mobile download on your phone for your Coinbase.
Is Shiba S-H-E-B-A?
S-H-I-B-A.
I-B-A.
But again, just don't go on somebody else's investing, you know, just do your own exploring and see what's, because right now RGT and Media are the two that are up. And so now, you know, the question that I have in my mind is, do I want to, sell a couple of my Bitcoin and buy, you know, some of the RGT or Media? So you, again, it's kind of like the stock market. You have to look at the overall growth pattern, because some of these are like this, they go up and down and up, but progressively over 6 months to a year, they're gradually going up. So that's probably a good one to invest in. Even though you have your daily ups and downs, the overall projection is an increase. And so just because something is on an increase today doesn't mean that it's had an overall increase. It could mean that it's just up 23%, you know, today. And it could be that it's still at the bottom of the barrel of investment. So don't jump on everything that has a couple of percent increase.
Also, another thing is there's different platforms. There's DAOs, there's real estate, there's communities and stuff. So there's the cryptocurrency stocks, if you want to use the current
the analogy.
They don't all fund the same part of the internet, because so there's DeFi's, there's DAOs, and I'm not even going to try to get into those pieces, but I will tell you that one thing that you want to consider, and I'm not saying this, but one thing you want to consider is Polygon, because that's where you're going to be able to purchase NFTs for a cheaper price than Ethereum. But those are the two platforms that you can get NFTs on, is Ethereum and Polygon.
Ethereum is the most popular one, though.
Yes, and that's the expensive one. So where Carrie is making his NFTs is on Polygon.
Okay, good to know. All right, so quite a lesson today on Web3 and what all of that means for us. It's coming. So anyway, what I want to talk about today is, what is your home run offer? And I want to hit on that for a few minutes before we go, because we're almost at the top of the hour already. So I guess we needed this conversation on Web3 because it is coming. And of course, Carrie's conference is coming, so I'm sure it's on everybody's mind that's attending the conference. So we talked about, starting in April, we talked about what is our free offer. And again, picture a funnel, just picture it in your mind, a funnel, you know, that's big at the top and small at the bottom. And you want to put as many people in the top of that funnel as possible. And as they come down the funnel, you know, you get less and less folks, because not everybody's going to buy your highest ticket item. You know, you're going to have, you know, maybe 100 people that will do your free thing, but then maybe only 50 will buy your first level offer or your first base. And then maybe only 25 is going to buy your second base. And maybe only 12 are going to buy your third base. And maybe only 2 are going to buy your home run. You know, so again, when you look at the formula, if that were your formula, if that were your numbers, you'd have to have 100 people to get 2 to buy your big ticket item. So the conversation for the month of August is, what is that home run for you? Now, here's what I want to tell you, and this is the important step. Make sure that your third base offer is your bread and butter, not your home run. Your third base offer is going to be your bread and butter. Your freebie at the top, your first base, your second base, that's all for folks to get to know, like, and trust you. Your third base offer is going to be your bread and butter. And then your home run is what's going to make you want to go out and celebrate. You're going to go out to dinner and celebrate. So I'm going to use the analogy of my salon days. When I was in the salon business, I could do free polish changes all day long, because it didn't take hardly any product. It didn't hardly take any time. And it brought a lot of people through the door to just get a polish change. Come in and get a polish change, because I was a nail tech, for those of you that may or may not know that. And so then once they got in there and their nails needed shaped a little bit, or, you know, or they needed a little more attention than just a polish change, I'd say, would you be interested in a manicure? And they were like, well, how much is it? Okay, well, see, it was a free polish change. Well, now it's maybe a $20 manicure. And they're like, oh, 20 bucks. Yeah, go ahead. I'll do a manicure. Because again, it's not a big risk to them. If they don't like it in a few weeks, they're going to redo it anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's just not a big risk, either in the service or the price. So they would say, yeah, for 20 bucks, yeah, I'll do a manicure. And so then they would get a manicure. Okay. So then I would say, well, would you like to have a pedicure? See, upsell, you know, coming down that funnel. And they would go, sure. Yeah, I'll get a pedicure. I'll get a manicure and a pedicure, and then I'll be good for my trip to, you know, to the Outer Banks for the beach. So they would walk out the door with, they'd come in for a free polish change. They would walk out with a manicure, pedicure. I would have made more money, and they would have gotten to know my services, to know, trust, and like me better. So now the next time they might come back around and say, we did the free one. We did the first base of the manicure. We did the second base of the pedicure. You know, I kind of like acrylic nails, because acrylic nails was my bread and butter. And the reason acrylic nails was my bread and butter was because once I put that overlay and I sculpted that acrylic nail, for any of you gals that ever wore acrylic nails, once I sculpted that acrylic nail on there, they had to come back every 2 to 3 weeks and get a balance or that was going to fall off. That's why it was my bread and butter. So the key to your bread and butter is, what is it that folks have to keep buying from you? Think about, what do folks have to keep buying from you? What is it that will bring you a monthly income that you can build on? That thing is going to be your bread and butter. That should be your third base offer. So your free one is to get them in the door. Your first base, it's really safe for them to purchase. It doesn't take a lot of risk on their part financially, time-wise, or whatever. Second base, they're willing to pay a little more to get another product or service. And finally, what is the third base? And that's what they have to keep coming back for. But see, they know where you're located because they came to get your free offer, whether it's, we're talking virtually or in person. So they know where to find you. They now have purchased a couple of things from you and they like what they saw. You know, they like the value that you brought to them. And so now they're like, yeah, this is going to be more of a commitment on my part. And that's where my membership site comes in. See? So when you look at my website, you see where, you know, get the free strategy call, get the free ebook, you know, all the free stuff, come to the free meetups, but then they can purchase a course. And finally, I bring them over to the membership site where, but again, it still has to be, and I remember last week when we talked, or last month when we talked, it has to be catering to your audience. So for me, and I'll bring up Carrie again, for me, when I went through Your Secret Name and Deeper Path, and my opus was to help folks in a certain poverty level, if you will, you know, minimum wage workers that are struggling to get ahead. So I have to make sure that when I price that thing, whatever that is, that keeps people coming back over and over and over again, that it's priced for my audience, for my opus. If I price myself too high or too low, I'm going to miss my target audience. So that's why when we go through Build a Better Business, that's why one of the first steps is you have to determine what is your promise? What is your VPS? What is your value proposition statement? Who are you and what are you doing for whom? Because you have to determine that before you can start building your products, because you don't want to miss the mark. You could have the best product in the world, but if it's priced outside of your target audience, they're not going to buy it. Does that make sense? And so you kind of have to work backwards. You have to kind of decide, who are you serving and what does that person and what does that audience look like? And then you have to go backwards and say, what is the one thing that they could afford that's in their price point that they would purchase month after month after month? What is that thing? Now, if you're in an MLM, you know, a multi-level marketing type thing, and you want to go in and look at your all of the products that you're selling. And what's the thing that you're selling the most of? Is it the vitamins? Is it the cleaning products? Is it, you know, is it candles? I mean, what is it? Is it essential oils? What is it that people are buying over and over and over again? When I got into the Mary Kay business, you know why I liked Mary Kay? Because they would buy those products and put them on their face and wash them off every night. And they had to buy them again to put them on their face again because they washed them off every night. And so that's where you have to decide in whatever it is that you're selling, what is it that people are going to buy over and over and over again? So you never discount and never give away your third base offer. Never discount, never give away your third base offer. You've got some free offers for that. You could even discount or give away or do a special even on your first and second base offers. And you could even discount or give away your home run offer, but never discount or give away your third base offer. That is your bread and butter. When you're watching, and now I don't know how many baseball fans I have, but when you're watching a baseball game, what's the most exciting play? It's when all the bases are loaded. Because you know, if you have all the bases loaded, you're pretty much guaranteed a home run somewhere in the base. You're guaranteed a home run if you have all the bases loaded. That's the most exciting part of a baseball game, is when all the bases are loaded. So third base offer is going to be your most important. So today, when I say, what is your home run? Some people confuse their third base offer with their home run offer. They think their third base offer is their home run offer. And I'm here to tell you, it is not. Your third base is the one that you sell over and over and over. It's your bread and butter. It's what your business is based on. It should have your story woven all through that offer. Every time you open your mouth around that offer, it should involve your story and serving and giving and helping your audience accomplish that thing, whatever that thing is. So if it's vitamins, you want to do all kinds of videos and trainings and marketing all around better health. If it's cleaning supplies, you want to do all of your talking and marketing and everything around, you know, going organic and going green with cleaning supplies. If it's a coaching program, then like we're doing right here with Build a Better Business, then it's all about your story and building that better business for your clients, because that's the bread and butter of your products. Does that make sense to everybody? So now the home run, that's going to be when, you know, that's going to be when you go out and celebrate. I'm going to go back to the salon analogy. I remember the first time I got a full set on my books, the girl had no nails on. And now the full set is not my bread and butter. And here's why. She could get a full set of nails for a wedding and maybe take them off when the wedding's over. She could get a full set of nails for graduation, maybe take them off when graduation's over. She could get a full set of nails because she's going on vacation to the beach. She could take them off when she gets back to work. Maybe she works in an industry as like nursing or something where they don't even allow her to wear nails. See, that's not my bread and butter. That full set was not my bread and butter because I couldn't guarantee that she was going to repeat and come back. It was the gal that wears the acrylic nails as part of her uniform that comes every 3 weeks and gets the balance. I had customers for years that wore acrylic nails, and they were my bread and butter. And so that full set, now that made me go out and celebrate, because I that was my biggest ticket item, was to put a full set of acrylic nails on somebody. That was my biggest ticket, because it took me an hour and a half. It was a lot of product. It was a lot of my time. And that was my biggest ticket. And I remember when I first got into the nail business as a nail tech, and of course, you know, I was just excited to have a manicure on the books, because I was like, whoop, got a girl coming in to get her nails polished. I'm in the business now. You know, my whole big $10 would maybe buy me a Starbucks. And so when I got my first full set, I remember going out to dinner that night after work, because I was like, whoop, I am now in the money, you know? Okay. Well, yeah. $150 bill. Yeah. That I probably spent more on dinner than what I made for the full set. But the point was, is that I knew, see, I celebrated that success because I knew I now had hit all the bases. It was the day that I knew I had the polish change, I had done the manicure, I had done the pedicure, I started adding clients on a every 3 week rotation for balances. And now I had a girl that wanted a full set for graduation. And now, and a certain number of those full sets are going to turn into repeat customers, a certain number of those, but that's not your bread and butter. And so I was so excited that I had all the bases loaded. And that's why I went out to dinner. And that's why it was a celebration for me. So when you look at my website, you see where I have the free strategy call. Again, the free ebook. You see where folks can now come down my landing page, my sales page, my home page of my website. It's all the same for me. As you come down the page, you see where then they can have one of the, any of, pick a free meetup. Then they can pick a course. Then they can choose a mastermind to join. And then we can celebrate with a Freestyle Living Tribe trip. And so you see where that's the celebration. And some of the folks that go on the tribe trip, maybe they may say, you know, I really like this group. I'm going to join some of those masterminds. Or they may not. They may just go on a couple of tribe trips when they have time and enjoy the company and get inspiration out of hanging out with us. But it may not be something, they may not turn into the bread and butter, if you will. And some of my bread and butter may never do a tribe trip. And that's okay. But it's a way to know that you have all the bases loaded. And folks that do the tribe trips, see, that's bigger money. That's going to be your highest ticket that people are going to spend money on. And a certain number of them will become repeat. So now that you see how all of that fits together, think about your products and services and work backward. What is the one thing that you would have happen that would make you want to go celebrate? Decide what that thing is. And then back up a base and decide what would be the one thing, what is the one thing in my business that I'm selling the most of, that I'm making my budget, I'm creating my budget out of this piece. And for me, it's my $25 a month membership sites. That's my bread and butter. It was my balances back in the salon days. For Estella, it might be all her customers that are paying a monthly fee to be a member of the Legal Shield. For Debbie, it's her customers that order every single month out of Melaleuca. But now go back and look at that in Melaleuca. What is your number one category? Is it the vitamins? Is it the cleaning? Is it, you know, what is it? What is the category that you're making the most money out of? That is your bread and butter. So that's where you want to focus your marketing, because your customers are already telling you that's their favorite thing, because your sales are the highest there. They're already telling you that's their favorite thing. Ruth, you're creating your products and services. And what's the one thing where people are connecting with you the most? Is it on the 5-day challenges? Is it on one-on-one coaching? What is the one thing that really makes folks want to connect with you? And that's going to be your bread and butter, where they're spending the most money. Sherry just launched her 5-day challenge. So again, and this isn't carved in stone. As your business unfolds, something that is not your third base bread and butter may move into your third base. You may, you know, the stars may align and you may have created this perfect product that just, as they say, goes viral. And all of a sudden you realize that's the thing. That's the thing that needs to be my third base. So then you have to decide, what is my grand finale? Now, for Carrie, and I'm going to use Carrie. We talked about Carrie at the beginning of the call before we started recording. So I'm going to mention Carrie again. His conference is his grand finale of his business every year. And so maybe if you're in, you know, developing coaching type products and books and coaching and that sort of thing, maybe you want to have an annual retreat for your top clients. You know, maybe you want to put on an annual conference. Maybe that will be your, as in my case, my Freestyle Living Tribe trips. But it has to align with your message. And you remember when Carrie first started his conferences, he would promote and highlight all of his folks. So all of his authors would be on stage and they would all get to share about their book. And it made the rest of us want to be them. You know, we're like, I'm going to be up there one day, you know, and that was the whole point of having that conference. And so our tribe trips, you know, I've had folks that are in my organization and they're like, I want to do a tribe trip with you guys. And I don't know about you, Ruth, but I had a ball, and Sherry, she had to jump off. But I had a ball when we went to South Florida. Didn't have any idea that I was even going to be speaking. At first we were just going to come and listen to you and then support you. And that was the whole point, but it was going to be this amazing trip. And it was, and we had a wonderful time and a great experience. And so I've got a lot of folks in my organization are like, I want to do a tribe trip with you. And I'm like, sure. And so, and we're going to keep growing that. but that's not my bread and butter. Ruth, go ahead. Question. You're on mute.
So your tribe trip, though, do you get any money out of it?
Now, that's going to be my big ticket item, because where I'm headed, remember, action starts first, clarity comes second.
Okay.
Where I am headed is I'm going to work with Sally, and I'm going to put the whole trip together, and then I'm going to load it with income for me, income for her, and it's going to be this package. And then anybody that wants to do like Carrie's conference, he has to pay all of his expenses. He has to pay for the venue and the food and the table setup and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's also a moneymaker for him. And so at the end of the day, once I get going with my tribe trips, they will actually be my big ticket item.
Okay.
Same as if you did a retreat or, you know, and I don't know, for those of you that remember when Fran was on board, in the Build a Better Business, Fran was all about Whole Foods. And she even took us on a couple of masterminds where she took us grocery shopping and showed us how to shop. Remember that, Debbie? Showed us how to shop correctly. And I think Estella might have been there with us. Anyway, at the end of the day, she loves retreats. That was what really spoke to her when she needed healing and the doctors didn't feel they could help her. And she decided to really explore Whole Foods and going on this retreat where she was separated from the world and she could just focus on herself and on her own self-care and her own food sources. And she swears that she turned her health around by going on this retreat. So that's her passion. And that's what she wants her top level home run to be, a retreat. She wants to end each year with a retreat for her top clients. Okay, comments, thoughts. Sherry just sent me a text. She said, sorry, she had to leave. Too much going on at home. She said, great feedback, though. So anyway, what are your thoughts on my analogy of the baseball and the different bases and where your home run comes in? Because this is all about your home run. So mine is the tribe trips. Debbie, what do you think your home run would be? Do you think it would be signing on a person as part of your team? Would that be the home run for you?
Yes, I can see where that would be the number one thing. There could be others underneath of it, like you said, but I think enrolling new customers is the best. Yeah.
Now, enrolling new customers would, if they're a customer, then that would be your third base. That would be your bread and butter, because a new customer is going to repeat purchase that. A team member that's also going to sell Melaleuca under you, I think, would be your home run.
That's a good classification, or
because,
you know,
because now, see, you're making money when they have start building a downline, and that's all passive income for you. So I would think that would be your home run, is adding a team member to actually sell Melaleuca. Adding a customer that's buying from you, I think, would be part of your third base offer.
Even though I get paid on what they buy, it's smaller.
That's your bread and butter, because they're going to maybe buy the vitamins every 30 days. They're going to buy the cleaning supplies every time they run out, you know, whatever the products are. But if they become an actual team member where they're also going to sell Melaleuca, now you're making money on their sales, and you, all you do is kind of just train them, monitor them, whatever.
I never thought about it that way. Mm-hmm. And that's quite true.
So now that you can picture that, now go backwards. And if them buying vitamins every 30 days is your third base, what would be your second base? Maybe somebody buying a special. And then what would be your first base? Maybe you having, you know, a free 5-day challenge to show all the advantages of buying Melaleuca.
Yes.
You know, so you definitely can see where once you know where you want to end up, now you can go backwards around the bases and decide what you want to fit in. And then that's your funnel. That's where your free starts at the top. You get a ton of people that do the free, then a few more do first base, a few more will do second base. Your your raving fans are in your third base. Your bases are loaded. See, you're constantly bringing people in the free, you know, give them a free ticket to the ball game, you know, and now they're there. And so now you've got a bunch of people in line for first base, a bunch of people in line for second base. Your raving fans are all on third base. And so now it's just a matter of time that you get a home run that somebody says, I love this so much, Debbie, I want to sell it to.
That's a good explanation. Thanks.
Okay, Estella, what are you thinking? How's this resonating with you?
This is wonderful. I'm still struggling with first and second base, but third base is definitely my bread and butter, is selling the Legal Shield and ID Shield membership. And my home run would be getting a new associate.
Yes.
I don't know what my second base is. If I'm backing up, I guess it's just to get them to look at some information. Maybe that's first base, is to get them to look at some information. But I'm trying to, I'm like,
well, I need to. Your second base very well could be you getting booked at expos. Having a table at expos could be your second base. And here's why. Your free stuff is, you know, it's out there and it has to resonate with somebody. So a ton of people it's not going to resonate with until you get to the handful that it does resonate with. So mm-hmm. that's always a harder, because it's at the top of your funnel. And then your first base could be you're going to give them out some free information to the folks that it did resonate with. Mm-hmm. But if you, on second base, if you would make getting to be a speaker on a podcast, a guest on a podcast, mm-hmm. a speaker at a chamber luncheon, or a table at an expo, you have a captive audience.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be your second base. And it could be just getting yourself booked on those is what your success is. It's not going to be the number of people that necessarily buy, but because you have a captive audience, you mm-hmm. now can present for, say, 20 minutes or 30 mm-hmm. minutes with, remember, your storytelling is your marketing mm-hmm. and your mm-hmm. serving is your selling. So mm-hmm. now you want to show up, filled up, and just storytell and serve 1,000%. Because that's what's going to sell your product.
Okay, so it's not necessarily that I am making the offer. The offer is
you will have a higher
educating them on the identity theft and why you need a will. That would be
because offer. You're going to have a higher conversion when they hear your stories and they see your heart. You're going to have a much higher, because they get to see you in person and they're going to get to know, like, and trust you faster, and you're going to have a higher conversion. That's where 5-day challenges come in, because people get to see you for 5 days. They get to hear your message. Mm-hmm. They get to hear your heart. They get to see your passion, and your conversion rate is so much higher. And that's why 5-day challenges are such a great success. No matter whether you're selling a product or a service or a book, it doesn't matter what the product is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if I did a 5-day challenge, I'm trying to think, what would that look like for Legal Shield or Melaleuca. Debbie, I'm trying to help you too. what would that look like for my Legal Shield or my ID Shield to have 5 days?
Well, you would need to pick a topic for each day that again, go back and look at what is your highest sales. What is resonating with your tribe, with your audience?
It would be the legal protection.
Mm-hmm. So you want to then, you know, break it down into the 5 top topics that people struggle with. And Legal Shield probably has the statistics on that. And again, you want to enter the conversation in their heads instead of making them enter the conversation in yours. And so you want to find out what do people care about? Why are they buying Legal Shield?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so once you know that, now you can put together a 5-day challenge where you're talking about those 5 hot topics.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, you got to enter the conversation in their heads. What's the hot topic in their head?
in their heads, finding out what they want. Mm-hmm. So that would be number two, is to get the message out there. Because the other way that I see also, in addition to being a speaker, I'm thinking of safety committees. And I guess I could do some rotaries. I've done that in the past. I guess I could still kind of do some of that.
It depends on what you're comfortable with. If some folks are more comfortable being on a Zoom call, then having a 5-day challenge is right up their alley. Because, you know, they don't have to, you know, get dressed up and drive somewhere and wait in behind the curtain to get called out and be up in front of a group and speak or whatever. And so it depends on what your comfort zone is. You can tailor this to whatever your personality is that works for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind being in person. But again, because I'm running the bed and breakfast, I can't promise all of these chambers that I could be there for a luncheon if I have a full house that morning. Sometimes that takes precedence. So for me, having a 5-day challenge and being on a Zoom call works better. And plus, Mark and I want to travel. See, I had to look at my
life. Right. You got to look at, make it fit how you want your life. Yeah, so go ahead. I apologize.
You get to create your business on whatever fits you the best, as long as you're serving your clients the best.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you did you did a training on the 5-day challenge. Was that in June?
I now have the 5-day challenge. We're going through that. Help me out, girls. Is it the
last Monday of the month?
I just missed it. Yes. Now you record those, right?
I record them, and it's the fourth Monday of every month at 12 noon.
Okay. I'm going to go back and look at that. I like that, because I couldn't figure out. I got clarity today, okay, about the home run. Never offer your third base, your bread and butter, you know,
never discount that.
But I could not figure out, okay, what's my second base? And then my first base is just getting an appointment. Would that be it?
Could be, or just getting information out. Because again, remember, it's a funnel. Mm-hmm. You're trying to bring them down the funnel. So, so your free offers, you know, you could even do a free 5-day. See, the 5-day challenge, depending on your price point, it could be your free offer. It could be your first base. It could be your second base. And if you have repeat people that want to be in an ongoing mastermind, it could actually end up being your third base if that's where your money is. Mm-hmm. But you have to start with something. And because you already have membership, I'm guessing that's your bread and butter, is people that are buying that membership and they're paying month after month after month after month. And the more you add into that, the higher your monthly check is. So that's going to be your bread and butter. And so I would then take the 5-day challenge and maybe make that my first or second base offer. Mm-hmm. Because people get to know, like, and trust you more when they're with you for 5 sessions.
And this is National Wheel Month, so I could definitely pull something together for a 5-day challenge. Would that be like 30 minutes or an hour session? What would that look like?
It's wide open on whatever you want it to look like. It can just be an hour session and then you could be done. If you wanted to create some income around it, you could do a free 5-day and then upcharge for a VIP ticket. And so for, say, $99, folks can get the VIP ticket, and the VIP ticket gives them all the replays and a bunch of resources. And I mean, you have to add some value to your VIP ticket. It could give them a couple of private coaching sessions with you. It could be whatever you wanted your VIP ticket to include. And again, we talk about that in the 5-day challenge mastermind. We talk about that. And so far, we're only 2 sessions in. And so far, we've only talked about our platform and how to schedule it. So we haven't even gotten into actually creating all of our products for that yet.
Okay. Thank you very much. This was helpful. And like I said, when you were talking about the third and the fourth, I'm like, I get it. But I was like, okay, so now what's 2 and 1? Okay, that's good. Little work on my part, but I can definitely do it.
And mm-hmm. and try something. And if you didn't, you know, now again, there's a fine line between trying something and then jettisoning it because you go, well, that didn't work, or making a commitment to try it for 6 months or a year and then evaluating whether it worked or not, because sometimes it does take a little bit of time to get traction. And so mm-hmm. many folks try it once and say that didn't work and they never do it again because mm-hmm. they go, oh, I did a lot of work on that. And it just, I didn't get the numbers that I was looking for. Well, people haven't found you yet. You remember my story when I said, you know, a dress shop went in downtown and I keep thinking I'm going to stop there. It looks adorable. And by the mm-hmm. time I finally have a free Saturday, they're out of business. Because mm-hmm. they didn't wait long enough for everybody to find them. Because mm-hmm. remember, your tribe has to find you. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. don't do one thing and then say, oh, well, that didn't. You have to plug it in and just
keep going so people know that. Because yes. they've got to get familiar with seeing it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And I just thought of the one point, like when you come up to bat first, or, you know, and you're not going to hit a home run every time mm-hmm. the first time you bat or first time you hit the ball. I mean, there's going to be grounders and all those. So I know a little bit about baseball and I bet it because my grandson's going to play it now. But so I get the analogy that really helps because, like I said, you're not going to hit a home run every time you get up to bat. Sometimes you're just going to get them to second base and, you know, third base and whatever. So.
And that's okay. And you have to still keep practicing and you have to still keep showing up for the game. And you have to still finish the season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, I know you clicked your camera off there. What are your thoughts? I don't know. Maybe you got a phone call. I'm not sure. What are your thoughts on this so far? What are you thinking your bread and butter is in your business? And I know you're just kind of at the beginnings of putting all your stuff together. So what, as the wheels are turning, what are you thinking?
Well, I actually had, and I'm not going to take a long time because we all probably need to get off, but I'd actually created a document where I had this spelled out. And then after this, I'm going to move some things around and change them because this has been a good discussion as far as thinking, what is my bread and butter? What am I depending on? I've got a lot under first base. I have 7 things under first base.
Can you share, would you mind sharing that, Ruth? Because I think I can, I just want to kind of get a visualization. You're a go-getter and I'm like, you know, I just need to try to see in your world, what does that look like for you?
Well, I'm all about relationships and I have found my sweet spot in that and helping people maximize all their relationships. And I've created this maximizing relationship method. Relation maximized, I think I flipped those, but anyway, and I did the 5-day challenge in May that went really well. And it really just boosted my confidence mm-hmm. because I realized, I know Kathy got on it some, I don't think Debbie did, but I just relaxed and totally enjoyed it.
You were a natural.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it is my sweet spot to be able to do that. And I realize that when I'm in that environment, sort of like Kathy is, that downloads just come and you know what's supposed to come out of your mouth and you don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, because I believe in God, I believe that God gives me those downloads mm-hmm. and I don't have to plan every moment of what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm starting to do like some free meetups on Meetup on through Zoom. And yeah, so far they haven't really taken off because I haven't really done them, but it's that getting up to bat and doing them, you know, and so I want to keep going with that. And I'm still figuring out what my niche is. I know it's maximizing all relationships, but what the niche is. And so like for the meetups, I'm doing it at different times to try to see what fits, as long as it fits in my schedule. Because I don't know if I'm going to be working more with corporate world or if it's going to be personal people. I could go either way. I could go faith-based.
Who was the most if you did a little survey of who attended your 5-day challenge, what was the common thread among everyone that attended the 5-day challenge? Have you thought about that?
Not totally. Now, that one was during the day. We did have, you know, I know one gal, one of my former HR peers, was listening while she was at work.
Okay.
You know, and but a lot of the others were entrepreneurs, you know, so they can have some flexibility during the day. But we consistently had 9 to 10 people in that room, which they say that your numbers will die down by the end of the week, by the end of the time, because people have things. And it wasn't always totally the same. But there was a core that was there every day.
Yes.
And that just shows that, you know, they were definitely getting value from it.
And who were they? What segment of population did they represent? Were they working? Were they retired? Were they single? Were they married? Was their conversation around corporate relationships or personal relationships? Does anything rise to the top out of that you recognized?
No, there were single people, there were married people, there were people with kids there were people with, you know, that don't have kids, there were some that were definitely retired, grandmother age type thing, but then, like, there weren't any teenagers there, because it was during school. But there was one guy that was graduating from high school that happened to listen in with his grandmother, and he even said something to his peers. Is that woman still doing that talk on relationships?
Yep. I get it. But most of the conversation steered around personal relationships, not necessarily corporate. Am I correct?
Right.
Okay. So that gives you a little insight that your first 5-day challenge, it seemed to draw personal relationships, seems to be a little more important to your audience, that particular audience, than corporate relationships. So sure. that might give you a little clue that people are more willing to get into a 5-day challenge to deal with a personal relationship over getting into a 5-day challenge if it's a corporate relationship.
And that's true. You know, the concepts are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason that you can go different ways with it. I am starting to do some meetups. I'm talking in my head yet about trying to do a clubhouse room and what that looks like. I think I could do it. I don't think I have any problem doing one.
No, I don't think you would either.
You know, it's just deciding, you know, and I probably would call it maximizing relationships or something like that. It's just deciding the time and jumping the bullet and saying, yeah, it's time to do it. I did create like a mini ebook that I don't know if I've had a lot of response on that yet or not. And then let's see. And I'm talking to the gal at my church that does small groups, because I want to see if it's time and if she would be interested in me doing basically a 5-day challenge. I probably wouldn't offer to sell anything, but that one would be really geared from a spiritual viewpoint. It's the same method, because the method itself is biblical.
Would you be allowed to charge?
I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it.
But could you do a VIP charge?
I wouldn't.
So you wouldn't want to do any charge in that environment.
No,
okay.
No.
So that could be, that could be your freebie then.
Yeah, that's my exposure.
Pop your phone.
But I can see in the future where that would lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be doing like church retreats, like an all day women's retreat or something. And for that, I could charge.
Right. Because you would just have a package price that would have your hourly rate. Just it's in there. It's Prego.
Right.
I did a couple retreats for Fran. And what we did is we simply just made a list. We listed, well, what's the cost of the venue?
Right.
And she was going to do it at my bed and breakfast. So I didn't care whether her people rented a room or whether the public at large rented a room. because if my rooms were rented, that's my income. So I just took my room rate and that's what I was going to get out of.
Right.
Was just having my rooms rented. And so we plugged in the room rate and then we plugged in, she was going to bring all the food. So then we plugged in the cost of the food that she was going to bring. And then she was going to run the retreat. I was going to do what I normally did for all my guests, which it's in there. That's, I get paid for the room and that includes me being the host. And so I wasn't going to get extra money for being at the retreat because that's what I normally do. But she was going to come and she was then going to show folks how to shop and how to cook and how to do all those things. And so we calculated what an average hourly rate would be for her. She knew what she wanted to make per hour. And we multiplied that by the number of hours that she was going to be here. And then we came up with a package and it was like $500 a person. And it covered their room, the food, the instruction, and I got paid for the rooms. She got paid for teaching and it was a win-win. And the folks were excited. They thought $500, that's nothing. They were like, yeah, we're in for a weekend for $500 and it includes everything. It's all inclusive for $500 for the weekend.
I mean, right now, something like that blows my mind because I have no idea where I would do it, but I can see that I could grow into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then like my book is on Amazon. That's either my first base or my second base. I don't know where it goes. I'm getting ready to, you know, kick off a blog. That is my first base offer. And so second base is probably short mini things. Like I've got one right now scheduled called a relationship reboot.
And it
does have a small amount of money attached to it. So that could either be a second or third base. I do want to eventually get courses on Teachable. You know, that probably, I have that under second, but I'm wondering if that isn't a third base.
Well, now how often are they going to buy the course?
Oh,
remember, third base is what somebody is going to pay you for over and over and over again. So it almost has to be an ongoing mastermind or a membership site or something that you're going to have a monthly cost for, a monthly fee.
And that's kind of what it's boiled down to, you know, as we're talking here. When you give me that definition, then I think it probably is a paid mastermind at some point.
Because you can do a 5-session mastermind and you can just repeat it. Even if you want to give yourself a week or two break in between, if you just repeat that mastermind, it just goes on. But I'm here to say, if you create a membership site like I have and make your membership site your mastermind, so it's just a flat monthly fee, they don't have to decide every 5 weeks, am I going to join again?
Right.
See, that puts them back into the buying process every 5 weeks if it's a 5-week mastermind. If it's a membership site, they do the buying process once. It's kind of like when you go to Planet Fitness and you sign up for Planet Fitness. How many of us have a membership and we never make it over to Planet Fitness? But by golly, we pay that membership every month because we have good intentions that someday we're going to show up. Well, that's how they stay afloat, is with that, their membership. And that's how fitness centers stay open, is with their memberships. And so when you go in there, there's not 100% of their members at the club every time you walk through the door. They wouldn't all fit. You know, they couldn't all get in there if they all showed up at once. So when you have a membership site, see, now you can start putting all kinds of offers and adding value, and you can throw in some 5-week challenges included in the membership. See, so it's all kinds of ways that you can constantly bring value and keep your members interested. But they just keep on paying month after month after month after month. And so I'm a huge fan of membership sites for that reason.
And I probably will do something like that. You know, I don't think I'm quite ready for that either. I think where I'm focusing right now on the first base and possibly second base, and knowing that the rest will come.
One thing I do want to jump in and say to you, Ruth, make sure when you do a 5-day challenge, and you may or may not have done this when you did your 5-day challenge, or even the one coming up for your just a few hours that you're doing, have sort of a disclaimer somewhere that your people give you permission to record that? Do you have a disclaimer that mine says that if you join in, you know, it's kind of like when you go online and you start to buy something, it says by clicking buy now, you are agreeing to our terms and conditions. It's kind of implied. So by joining in, you're agreeing to be on our recording. And so something like that, because you can build content early as you're going along, all of this can be part of the content for your membership site. So you don't have to feel overwhelmed about creating content for your membership site. Every time you do a 5-day challenge or every time you do, a 2-hour masterclass or whatever you're doing, that can all become part of your content of your membership site.
So are you saying that you need something besides the Zoom? This is being recorded.
No. As long as it says it's being recorded. Again, okay. Your members have the option to turn off their camera and turn off their microphone if they don't want to be on the recording.
Right. So
I'm just saying save all of that, because all of that can now be a part of your content for your membership site.
So when Zoom says this is being recorded and you have to push got it, that's mm-hmm. the disclaimer. You're not yes. talking about anything else.
Correct. Okay. But just know that you can use that as part of your membership site later down the road. Don't think that you've got this empty membership site and you have nothing to put in it yet. All of the stuff that you're doing is stuff you can put in it.
Okay. So I need to think about what would be in my membership site.
For me, it's recordings of the masterminds that we're doing, and it's the course that I'm creating. And I've created a course for each topic. And then I have a mastermind for each topic. And I have a free meetup for each topic. And all of that is in my membership site. That's how I'm creating my membership site. Now, here's why I'm a big fan of membership sites. I'm just going to pick a number. Let's say that you need $3,000 a month. And you divide that by a $25 a month membership site. You only need 120 members to make $3,000 every month. 120 members, you divide that by 12, you only need to add 10 members a month for 1 year. So if your boss came to you and said, if you hang in for 12 months, I will give you $3,000 a month from then on, would you do it? If he says, if you just show up for the next 12 months, and at the end of 12 months, I'll give you $3,000 a month forever. After that, every single month, you'll get $3,000 a month. Would you say, okay, I'll do that? That's what a membership site will do for you. If you just say, I'm going to create content for the next 12 months, and I'm going to just start advertising my membership site. And if I can add 10 members a month, a year from now, I will. Now again, not only are you going to get 3,000 at the end of 12 months, you're going to start making money every month. You know, the first month, if you only have 10 members at $25, you made $250. Well, the next month, you know, if you have 20 members, you're now getting $500. And so again, see, you're adding every month, you're getting an income. And at the end of 12 months, you will have worked your way up to $3,000 a month. And then here's what I'm telling you. When you've got that membership site, your members go like this, you know, one leaves, two join, one quits, three join, another two quit, four join. And it goes like, so it's not like you had a 5-day challenge and you made $5,000 and now you don't have a challenge. And so you're making nothing. And now you've had a masterclass and you make $2,000. And now you go a couple of months with no masterclass and you make nothing. So the membership site keeps your income here. Mm-hmm. It's just like in rental property. I love buy and hold rentals and I love multi-units. And here's why. If I've got a 4-unit, it's not likely that all 4 are going to move out at the same time. I might have one move out, but I still have the income from the other 3. See, so my income is more like this. It's not like it's rented, it's not rented. It's rented, it's not rented. My income levels off a little bit and you can budget a little better. And that's the way it is with the membership site. It allows you to budget a little better. Now, when Debbie has repeat clients that just love Melaleuca, that's her membership site. They're buying that stuff every month. They love it. They wouldn't they wouldn't switch for another product for love nor money because it works for them and they're in. Estella has folks that are in her Legal Shield. That's her membership site. See, Ruth, you and I don't have a membership site, so we have to create one and we have to provide that value that Debbie and Estella's folks are automatically getting out of their membership sites already. And we don't have that, so we have to create those products that give them value, that make them want to continue to pay that membership. And that's why that's the bread and butter. So that's the bread and butter for Debbie. And that's the bread and butter for Estella, and that can be our bread. And that's the bread and butter for me, and that can also be your bread and butter, Ruth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Like I say, I'm going to take my Word document, and I've got all, notes all over it, so I'll take it while I still remember some of them and revise it. So yeah, it's been good.
Okay, we went way over because we spent the first half talking about, you know, the Web3, and obviously that was a big question today, which again, I appreciate that we talked about because it is coming. And then we had our normal discussion about our home run offers. So I hope everybody found tons of value. And as I like to do, I love to go around and find out your biggest takeaway. We're going to talk about social media in September. So that's going to be a good one. For those though that are interested in the 5-day challenges and how to make that a part of your offers, be sure and tap in. Just go to KathyBenner.com and go to the calendar. It's all on the calendar. You can see the dates. So just go there, save the calendar under your calendar or whatever, or put it, you know, save it either by event or the whole thing. It's up to you. But go to KathyBenner.com, scroll down the homepage to the calendar, or go to the menu tab and click on the calendar and find the dates. But definitely tap in because we're still going to be talking about blogging. We're still going to be talking about the 5-day challenge. I put all of you in all of those masterminds. So many of you are my founding members, so I don't charge to put you in some of those extra masterminds. So feel free to tap in. So anyway, with that, next month, we're going to be talking here on this particular mastermind about social media and an easy way to, you know, to start posting. But you got to have some products, you know, you got to have something to market. And so that's why it's in this order. So we've talked about all of our offers. And so now it's how do we get the offers out to the public at large so they know what we have to offer. So anyway, biggest takeaway, Debbie, how about you?
Finally understanding all three bases, really. And using the analogy of home base for not only the home run, but for, you know, launching everything. And this has been good today. Very eye-opening and very, in some respect, mind-blowing, because that Web3 is just, I don't know.
Get too concerned about it. Don't, you know, I'm, what? I'm as not. It unfolds, we'll all learn as we go. Remember.
And action, I have some good first. Teachers here.
Yep. Action comes first. Clarity comes second. I don't understand it. I'll get more clarity once I go to Carrie's conference this year, I'm sure. And as things unfold. So don't get too hung up on it. Because no. I think it's just like we went from web one to web two and didn't even realize it happened. Sure. We all just kind of adapted it. And some of that's going to happen with web three. We're all just going to kind of adapt it by default, right, and not even realize we did. So Estella, what's your big takeaway?
Oh my. This was a wonderful session. Like Debbie, I had no clue about Web3. I think you mentioned it one other time, but I just like, And I know Debbie said, I'm not interested. I am interested. I just have to find the bandwidth to learn it. And I know it's like when the computers came out and people said, oh, I don't need that. And I know people even today are like, I'm not on it. Mm-hmm. You, I will not be left behind. That's just the bottom line, you know? So I'm very, very blessed that the conversation even came up because I was clueless, you know? And so that was a great takeaway for me, just to understand that that's available or possible, let's say possible.
Yes.
And that I really appreciate that. And then the other thing was just really getting a solid understanding of base three and base four, and then having you give some ideas about what I can do for base one and base two. That was extremely valuable.
Good, 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 good. Great. Ruth, how about you? Any big takeaway?
Just real quick. I keep taking my picture away. It won't let me do it. Anyway, probably that the third base needs to be the bread and butter, the repeat. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm taking away.
Yeah, so it's hard to 10X something unless it's repeatable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's time. We've learned a lot. I'm ready to go eat lunch.
Yes, perfect. All right, ladies. Well, with that, we're going to go. And thank you for hanging in there with me today. We went over today, but I think this was great conversation. So thank you so much. Again, all the replays, you'll find them in the Academy. KathyBinner.com is the best place to go to tap through. That's because it's easier than trying to remember that big, long URL for the Academy. So just KathyBinner.com.
Sign the email to a campaign.
So, okay, guys. So we will see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.